Mr. Kevin Wallin, Managing Director of One Stop Computer Shop Limited and Director of the SET program, Students Expressing Truth. To start off, I'd just like to introduce the members. We have Professor Nesson, almost a member of DCS by now, from Harvard Law School. We have Mr. Kevin Wallin to his left of One Stop Computer Shop. We have Mrs. June Jarrett, Deputy Commissioner of Custodial Services. We have Mrs. Aileen Stevens, Deputy Commissioner of HRM and Community Services. And we have represented Mrs. Arlene Harrison-Henry from the Bar Association of Jamaica, and Ms. Nancy Anderson from the Independent Jamaica Council for Human Rights. We have Mr. Broadbell from the Detention and Courts Jamaica Constabulary Force, who we work very closely with. And we have represented Mr. Leslie Campbell from the Jamaica Federation of Correctional Officers, Ms. Allen, Superintendent in Charge of South Camp. We have Reverend Hardy, Ms. Gray, Mr. Gail Campbell, Director of Rehab, Ms. Philippa Douglas, Director of Training. In terms of a project overview, we'd like to say that since the recent events of the 31st of March 2005, and if you could just amend your agenda pages there, because we're not forecasting anything to happen in 2006. We have done some reflection, and I think it's widely accepted that there is a need to engage the staff and inmates of our institutions in a very meaningful way. We have a number of programs which are being pursued, and we have a particular program which started at the South Camp Adult Correctional Center, which has been highly successful, and we see it necessary to expand that program as yet another vehicle for rehabilitation and engagement. Today, we'd just like to briefly share with you the project overview, and these include, and I'm sure Mrs. Harrison Henry will be very interested in this one, a study on the justice process, which is one of the initiatives that will be pursued. And this basically would include the Norman Manley Law School, the Bar and Advocates Association of Jamaica, the Independent Jamaica Council for Human Rights, and the Court User Group, which comprises the Jamaica Constabulary, the Ministry of Justice, the Department of Corrections, and the Ministry of National Security. Another initiative is a study on trust. And there's the expansion of the SET program, which we hope to rebrand as the Staff Students Expressing Truth. And this program would be launched at the Tor Street Adult Correctional Center. And a partnership with the United Nations Development Program Vision 21, along with Roots FM. So without going into all those details, I'm going to invite Mr. Kevin Wallin to make his presentation. He's going to do a summary presentation on the SET program, and that will be followed by Professor Nesson, and then we'll have question and answers. Thank you. Over to you, Kevin.
Okay, good afternoon.
Hello.
Students Expressing Truth. The whole idea of the program came through two inmates, you know, Richard Butner and Robert James, that were at South Camp. So when I came on the scene, they had already decided that that's what they wanted this program to be called. They had a mandate that they wanted to follow. They wanted to study things like, we're talking about biblical, psychological, physical, economical. They just had all of these different things that they wanted to look at. At the time when I came on the scene, there was a lot of programs going on, but a lot of these programs were so-called road programs. A lot of inmates were going out to do different things at churches and schools and different functions. The set program, they didn't have a thing that they wanted to go out on the road and do these different programs. So what we decided to do was we decided that we wanted to actually get some studying done. So we did an assessment on the guys that were interested and found that out of the 10 at the time that won, that, you know, showed some interest, 8 of them were pretty much illiterate to the point where they couldn't read, write, kind of thing. And then the other 2 were barely, you know, able to read anything. We started out with bringing in newspapers, stuff like that, you know, reading articles, discussing the articles that we read. As the program went on, we decided that let's try one computer. We tried this one computer and we found that it worked, and it worked very well. Because one of the things that, you know, I saw was happening is that the guys didn't want to come into a classroom where they had to open up to everybody and read out loud and spell words out loud and get it wrong and stuff. There's a lot of pride issues involved. So with this one computer, we were able to put them in front of it with some simple ABC software kind of thing. They were able to put headphones on, and the only person that would know when they made mistakes, it would be them. And they could easily correct it. The programs that we had were very simple. They were interactive in the sense that they would tell them when they're wrong, and if they wanted to know how to spell it, they could always just click a button and it would tell them the proper spelling, and they moved on. We used that and we saw where some of the guys went from not being able to read and write at all to the point where they're taking part in quiz competitions, spelling bee competitions, and all the other things that we've been able to do in the prisons. After we, you know, we saw where it was going, we realized that, you know, this computer thing is really working out. So let's take it to the next level. So I approached DCS and asked if I could, you know, renovate the library, put some computers in it. The permission was granted, we renovated the library, we put some computers in. Now we had 7 computers in that little lab. We put an air-conditioned unit in the lab. We painted and cleaned up, and, you know, it was just very nice and comfortable. And in no time at all, we just it was just like a rush. It was really nice what was taking place. The guys were always planning events, they were putting things together. And they were communicating back and forth with each other really, really nicely. And so we just stuck with the program. I think about 2 years later, we left the library and went to another room, and we added another 4 computers. And with the 4 computers that we added, we also added some different kinds of software. Rather than just teaching people how to read and write and type and do, you know, Microsoft Office applications, we thought that we should teach them other things. You know, teach them how to do some video editing, teach them how to, you know, use programs like AutoCAD, how they can build buildings or houses or whatever the case is virtually. There's a guy at South Camp right now that if you give him the size of the land that you bought, the size of the rooms that you want for your house, and just give him the basic specs, he can build a house exactly how you give it to him. And I mean, it is absolutely amazing. For some of us have had the chance to see it at the expo, you know, that we had a few weeks ago. And it was, I gave them the blueprint for my house. They've never seen the house, and they built it exactly as it is. And I mean, it's just an amazing thing. We've been able to do a lot with Adobe Premiere, which is a world-renowned software that people use to make documentaries, movies, commercials, all that kind of stuff. And these guys have mastered it. So it just goes to show you that if these minds are occupied, there's no telling what they can do. And these guys have done many, many of those things. So the next step, as far as I'm concerned, as it relates to the SET program, is to open it up to a point where it can create a better relationship with both staff and inmates. I think the programs that we're learning is not stuff that is just geared for inmates only. Staff could learn these things, staff could better relate to the inmates if they were able to do these things. So as we move forward, we would definitely like to expand the program, and as, you know, Commissioner alluded to earlier on, we're looking at, and this is kind of Charlie's explanation of it, right? There's SET right now, so we're gonna add another S. And in between the 2 S's, there's gonna be two lines. If it's turned this way, it's equal, and if it's turned that way, there's bars. So we just go to show you that there can be bars between the S's, or they can be equals. And so the equal sign kind of rotates. And what we want to do is to be able to educate both sides till we get to the point where it just stays. It doesn't rotate anymore. It just stays on the equal side where it's students and staff expressing truth. The whole idea of students expressing truth is not an idea where people have to come forward and confess to us as to what their crimes are, to what they have done. We work from a more spiritual standpoint. I believe that as long as you know the truth and you act upon the truth, that's cool with me. And that is what we actually have these guys go through. We have discussions where they can talk freely if they want to talk freely. But the reality is, at the end of the day, when you go back to your bunk, you are now with yourself, and you're it's between you and God, or you and your creator, you and whoever it is. So you have to make that peace. And so that is basically our approach to it. In the near future, we're looking at possibly getting into situations where better classrooms are designed. Right now we have one room that has 11 computers in it. And in a prison that has 250 inmates. So there's no way we can, you know, satisfy the needs with that small lab. So we're looking at a situation where we can get some partnerships and we can build a school. And so I always used to them the example of when I was back at university, I lived on campus. I lived far, far away from home. I couldn't just get up and go home when I wanted to. I got up, I went to my class, everything was done on that campus. So I'd like to see the prisons look more like a campus situation, where we know that people are there to do time, but the reality of it is there's no jail, there's no burial grounds in prisons. So they are gonna come back out. So it is in our best interest to do whatever it is that we can do to make sure that they're equipped so they can take care of themselves and their families when they come back out. So I think that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. I would ask Kevin before we leave to set up his laptop so that those who haven't been to Tower Street will have an idea of the area that we're going to use for the lab and the actual size, because that will be the largest lab that we'll have in our department. I'm going to now invite Professor Nesson to share with us his vision. Charlie.
Well, I started the Berkman Center at Harvard Law School back in the late 90s as a research and development center for cyberspace. It was the first such center that was started at any of the universities, and it's been a pattern that's been followed in numbers of universities around the world. We've done research over the years on digital media as a major focus of our activities, and on filtering, the way countries filter the communication environments. And then one aspect of our work has been with developing nations. And in particular, I had focused on Jamaica early on. The essential idea that we started with had two parts to it. One was that the cyber environment, that is, not just internet, but thinking of the whole unfolding communication space, is a place of tremendous potential power, and there are new uses to be discovered and made of it, with the remarkable feature that the digital environment brings the tools for making and editing and shaping and publishing message down into the hands, if not the common man, at least into the hands of institutions that have even small budgets. And that this is a huge potential power if it can be focused in sensible fashion. And then the second thought was that we shouldn't come to any country with a project of our own. We should come looking for a project that grows up out of the natural ground of the country and see if we could offer cyber powers to amplify the project. And it was that that brought us here to DCS early on. It actually, shouldn't say too early on, it took 2 years of exploration before we were pointed towards the rehabilitation effort that had been started in DCS. This is back in the era of John Prescott and Desmond Green. And the idea was to see if we could amplify that. Well, that was an indigenous idea that had great merit to it in many regards, but it also had some flaws to it in the way it was played out. And it's been a real learning process in the years since to evaluate what the pluses and the minuses were of that program. And from our point of view, it is an incredible blessing to have come to a new point, a new chapter in the unfolding story, where Kevin Wallen has the SET group, which worked out with a group of inmates a program that would genuinely work and that had genuine traction and was based in notions of hard work and the idea that doing hard work and intellectual work in a digital environment can itself be enormously rewarding, as well as adding any number of skills and proficiencies. And that coupled with Major Reese, who I feel that we're all blessed with someone who knows how to manage things and has good, solid values. And we're embarked on this program once again in a way that has strength that it never had before. Then I was, I'm sure, struck as all of you with the events of March 31. That was just a shocking event. And for someone who's gone through the September 11 event in the United States, sees how a destabilizing event within a community galvanizes attention and focus and excites emotions on all sides and calls forth a need, a felt need, for doing something to change things in a way that makes a difference. I feel that we're at a quite propitious moment. I attended the funeral of Maurice Whittingham, and I felt the high point of the event was the talk that was made by, not Leslie, but Leslie's associate in Jafedco, who was really putting the emphasis on the need for this event to define an inflection point at which and from which things change going forward. And so the opportunity to look at what we actually have already on the ground, already demonstrated as effective, and being able then to use cyber tools, basically digital communication space, to take that program and expand it throughout the environment of the correctional service, seems like it's just an extremely worthwhile and a promising enterprise. And I would say our vision, Richard, as for my vision has to do with space. Let me speak to you as a woo-woo academic for a moment, all right? My nickname is Ian, Dean of Cyberspace. From the beginning, we've understood this space that we concern ourselves with academically to be essentially a communication space, a space in which you imagine a world of communication nodes from which any one node can send a message to any other, receive a message from any other, send a message to all at once. It's a fluid communication space. And it's, if you think of it as a message space, it's rhetorical in its character. It's an environment that surrounds you with the messages that allow you to make meaning of your lives. And so how those spaces are created and how they're managed, how they're structured, is essentially what we study. And so my vision is that DCS will now oversee the unfolding of a new and rapidly expanding communication space in which the essential conflicts that are troubling this immediate environment and perhaps Jamaica more broadly, I see it presented as the line of tension between inmate and staff. So an environment in which DCS as the administrator is in effect like the engineers, the tech engineers who give you the computers and the wires, and if they pull the plug it all goes down. But then within the environment that engineering environment creates. There's rhetorical space where people express themselves, where people tell their stories. I've been impressed that one of the most powerful things that keeps being said again and again in my presence at meetings of inmates is ask the question, what would you do if you could to try and lead others not to do what you did, make the mistakes you made? The answer comes back repeatedly, I would tell them what it's like to be here. And so the idea of story, life story, where people made their mistakes, what it was like the first time you came into this environment, what it is that happens to you, what it is that you want, where's your passion? And it turns out that these are questions that are as meaningful for inmates as they are for guards, as meaningful for staff as they are for inmates. And so the idea of a community made up of two spaces that are in tension, each having some say in how the message space unfolds, and in a structure that leads to moderation, that's the vision that I'm looking for, and is really, I think, the promise of what we have to offer. Well, thank you very much.